and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is, never shall be.
The world in which we live is certainly filled with numerous causes for concern. There are environmental concerns that surround us. There's an unstable economy that we're suffering through. There's political unrest that's found in various portions of the world. And these concerns, and hundreds if not thousands more like them, could easily in our lives turn into anxieties and fears and worries about the future and what will come to us and the world in which we live. It is possible to live not by these anxieties, these worries, and these fears, but rather with something deeper to access the peace of God in our life and not to be overtaken by these fears and anxieties and worries. And it is this very reality Paul is speaking of in the epistle text to the Romans today. The Apostle Paul writes an amazing sentence in the first sentence of that epistle text today. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Since the Scriptures have faithfully proclaimed to us the truth of God, and since the Apostle Paul makes such a strong statement here, I have to stop and ask the question today, why is it, if this is the case, that he's stating we have that being justified by faith, we have peace with God, why does it seem like the peace of God is so elusive to many of us? Why does it seem that not everyone has this peace of God reigning and ruling in their lives? The peace of God seems to be an elusive concept that's nice to talk about, but very few seem to possess. Why is it hard to hold on to the peace of God? Why is it so hard for us to be at peace within ourselves? Before we directly answer that question this morning, before we go on, we have to essentially look at this statement that the Apostle Paul makes and understand some critical elements of it. He states, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God. And it's important to note here that the Apostle Paul, in writing the epistle to the Romans, it's an epistle that's unlike any of his other epistles because it's written to a community of faith that he himself did not found, whereas the rest of his epistles are going to churches that he himself started. But this epistle is written to a church that not only he had never found, he did not found himself, but it is a church that he has not visited. It's a church that is virtually unknown to him. He only hears by word of mouth through others what is going on there in the church in Rome. And he hopes to someday go there, and it's by way of introduction he sends this epistle to the church in Rome. So this epistle is written to a church of people that he doesn't know. Yes, it's true that they shared some mutual acquaintances with each other, and it's true that there were some people that the Apostle Paul knew from other places that at this time had finally moved to the city of Rome. And so there were a few people, perhaps, that the Apostle knew. But he didn't know the community. By and large, he didn't know the people that made up that community. They were strangers to him. And it's critical to reestablish this fact because we have to understand that when the Apostle Paul makes his statement in the epistle text today, he's not making that statement based upon a personal knowledge of the people that are there. He makes the statement, we have peace with God. He includes them. He's not saying, I have peace with God. He's saying to them, we collectively have peace with God. And it's not based upon him knowing those people. It's not based on observing those people. He didn't go home and observe that this is a community that just permeates with the peace of God. And so he's speaking as a matter of fact of something that he's personally observed. It's important to note this because what he is doing here when he makes this statement is he's making a theological declaration. He doesn't need to see the people that are in Rome to know if it's true or not because it's theologically true in Christ. And so he's affirming a reality that exists in Christ. He didn't need to see them personally. He knows that we, as believers, have peace in God because it is part of the redemption package. Peace with God is something that all believers have access to. And so naturally, the believers in Rome had access to that same peace of God that he had known. So once again, I ask, if the peace of God is available for all believers, if the peace of God is truly part of the package of redemption, of being a Christian believer, why does it seem so elusive at times? And the answer to that question is really quite simple, and yet it's not something we like to hear. The answer is because the peace of God, what we equate with the peace of God, is something very superficial and circumstantial. We equate peace with the circumstances of our life, and that's not the peace of God. So in other words, when our life is peaceful, we have peace. When our life is stressful, we are stressed. And it's just, we live our life in a very circumstantial way based upon the circumstances of our life. We live on the superficial surface of life, never going beneath the surface to something deeper and understanding that the truths of God, the reality of God's kingdom, permeate far deeper than the circumstances of our life. And so it is with the peace of God. It escapes us because it's deeper than whatever we're going through. Our life largely gets based upon these circumstantial things. And so we tell ourselves, well, I will have peace someday. It is a priority to me. When my life slows down, then I'll have peace. When I win the lottery and I purchase that vacation home on a tropical island and I spend 6 months of the year there, then I'll be at peace. And we have these images of what it means to be at peace. And certainly, that sounds externally to be a peaceful thing. But that's not what the Apostle Paul is speaking of here. And what's the problem with this approach? The problem with these kinds of ideas is, when does life ultimately ever slow down for us? When do we reach that point where we are stress-free and there are no issues that are bearing down upon us, where there are no struggles, no hardships, no difficulties, no element of suffering that is going on in our life? Such a life does not exist. See? The apostle understands these things, and he's speaking to something that's far deeper than the circumstances of our life. He's speaking of the peace of God that transcends circumstances. When life is stressful, when we are facing hardships, when we suffer, these are the moments in our life when we need the peace of God the most. See, and it needs to be something deeper. It's not the peace of God comes and it changes the external circumstances. It's the peace of God experienced in the midst of those circumstances. Christ, through his work on the cross, has secured peace of God for us. The peace of God is not based on the circumstances of our life. The peace of God is based upon Christ's life. It's Christ's work, and it's based upon our relationship with Christ. See, the statement the Apostle Paul makes is, we have peace with God through Christ. And so we always have to remember that our peace, the peace that we can know, the peace that is a gift of God to us, is known and accessed through Christ. The apostle doesn't envision a life that is based upon circumstances. He clearly recognizes that life has its share of struggles and hardships and trials. And clearly he understands believers are not free from such things, that these things are part of a believer's life just as they are part of an unbeliever's life. In fact, as the epistle goes on this morning, what does he speak of? He goes on and he says, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. You see, he understands that there is suffering in this life. And he's speaking of this deeper reality of rejoicing in the midst of those sufferings. Certainly not joyful that we're because we're suffering. It's discovering that joy that we can know in Christ, even in the midst of suffering. He says, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope doesn't disappoint us because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts. Hardships and struggles and trials and suffering, it's part of this life. And we shouldn't be anxious about such things. They're simply part of life. They are going to come and they are going to go. But if we are anxious in this life, if worries are abundant in our life, if fear has gripped our heart over any issue of life or potential issues that may be presented to our life, then it's clear that the peace of God is not ruling in our hearts. We have to understand that the peace of God does not coexist with fear. The peace of God doesn't coexist with anxiety. The peace of God doesn't exist with worry. So when we worry, when we are anxious, when we fear, we know that the peace of God is slipping from us. You see? And it should tell us that something's wrong because we are not at peace. We are giving in to the fears and the anxiousness and the worry. Certainly there are plenty of things to be concerned about in this life. And having the peace of God in our life is not kind of a carefree attitude where we don't deal with the responsibilities and act accordingly in our life. No, we can plan for the future, and we are to act in responsible manners regarding issues of life and problems that we face. Peace of God doesn't excuse us from action, but we act based upon a trust in God, not because we're fearful, you see? We have to act based on something that's deeper than our fears and our anxiousness and our worries. If we don't have peace, we need to do something about that fact. We need to turn to Christ, who is our source ultimately, to the peace of God. We have peace with God through Christ. And so practically speaking, when we recognize worries are taking over, then we have to turn to Christ, who is the source of the peace of God. We recognize that peace of God is lacking in our life, and we need to turn to Christ to help us in those moments. We need to pray. We need to give those struggles, the things that we are fearful about, the things that we worry about, the things that we're anxious about, we need to pray and give those things to God. It's in that act of giving our life and the things that we worry about to God that we start to be at peace, because it's in God's hands. It's not in our hands, and we don't have to worry about it ultimately. We might have to act again in some responsible way to plan for the future, but we're not going to worry about it. We're going to place it in God's hands as we pray and give it to Him. And we build our relationship with God, and we experience that life of Christ, and as we experience that, we experience the peace of God, and it dissipates the worries and the concerns and the fears that can so easily take over life. So practically speaking, when we don't have peace, we have to turn to Christ. We have to pray. We have to establish that relationship with Christ, be maintaining and growing in each and every day. The Apostle Paul writes to the Philippians on this very subject, and he says this: be anxious for nothing. Nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then he continues. That ends with a colon, and then he continues. There's a conclusion to that. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, so when we are being ruled by anxiousness and worry and fear, we have to recognize we probably have not taken those things to God, as the apostle is instructing us here. Don't be anxious over these things, but in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request to God. Leave it in God's hands, and the peace of God, which passes understanding, can rule our hearts and our minds. And there's also another situation, I think, that has to be addressed here at times, why we don't have God's peace. And that's quite simply because we're not doing the very thing that God wants us to do. And somehow in the depths of our hearts, we know that, and so our peace is not there. Because we have to do what we need to do, and we haven't done it. And so sometimes it's stopping what we're doing because we're doing something wrong and we're being convicted of a sin that's there and we need to cease and desist from that practice, and the Holy Spirit is convicting us of this, and we need to act accordingly. We need to pursue the path of repentance and change that course of our life. And in doing so, we reestablish the peace of God. And sometimes it's quite the opposite. The Holy Spirit is stirring our heart to do something that is good, something that is worthwhile, something that is holy and loving and compassionate. And we haven't done that thing. And so thus, we're not at peace because we know we need to do something. There's this thing that the Holy Spirit has been prompting us to do, and we haven't done it. And so we're not at peace. Again, we have to recognize the peace of God comes through the Holy Trinity. It's an experience of God Himself in our life. And we can't have this relationship with God in which we at one hand hold Him at arm's length, and at the other we're saying, come closer. Stay away, come close. Stay away, come close. And that's in effect what we are doing in those moments of our life. We want the peace of God, but we don't want to do what God wants us to do. And that's incompatible. We can't live in such a manner. The peace of God is a consistent giving of our life to Christ. And so it's in those moments, if we can pursue repentance and we can take the steps that God is asking us to take, we turn our life, then once again, the peace can be reestablished in our life. The peace of God can be known in our hearts. Because now we're following the Lord as the master of our life, and thus we are at peace. The peace of God is a tremendous blessing when God bestows it upon believers. It's a blessing and it is a gift to us. And this peace is available to all of us through Christ. We simply must follow Him on the path of repentance. We simply must turn to Him with our prayerful supplications and lay out all the things that we're worried about. We will face hardships in this life. We will face struggles in this life. We will face difficulties and trials and suffering in this life. But we can face these moments of our life with the peace of God deep in our hearts. We can be at peace in these moments of our life. There are certainly plenty of causes for concern in this life. But let us not let worry and fear overtake us and rule our lives. Let us not live our life just on the surface, going from circumstance to circumstance. Let us instead reach deep and find Christ that can be known in the depths of our hearts. Let us reach out to Christ. Let us give our struggles to Christ. Let us give our concerns and our worries to Christ. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, can rule and reign in our hearts and our minds. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.